I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a Hall of Fame pitcher recalls striking out his boyhood hero and the revenge that hero eventually enjoyed. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Bill.
We have to begin this week's segment with sad news. Muhammad Ali has passed away. Just about everything the boxing champ did in life seemed bigger than sports. Nobody's going to forget that Atlanta Olympics appearance, I guess. I suppose his passing also larger than the passing of anybody else involved in sports.
Where in the name of God do you begin? Seriously, what's the first thing you say about the life of Muhammad Ali? That he was the heavyweight champion of the world? That's about fourth on the list, I think. But one of the most remarkable things about him is, of all the icons of that period of history, he's one of the very few who lived to old age. Most of those folks didn't make old bones. Robert Kennedy didn't. Martin Luther King didn't. Malcolm X didn't. And as sick as he was and as bad his physical condition was, Muhammad Ali was around to get the praise he should have gotten his entire life. And if that sounds shallow and superficial, bear in mind that it's hard to find the words for what he meant to the world.
Did you ever have the opportunity to meet Muhammad Ali?
No, it's the greatest disappointment of my sports writing career is that I was literally was never in the same room with him. But apparently you were.
Yes, I was, very briefly, with a whole bunch of other people who were patting him on the shoulder in the back and saying, "How you doing, champ?" And so at least I was in his presence.
So was the charisma real?
Yeah, absolutely. One of those very few people that you meet during your life who becomes the center of whatever place he happens to be occupying. Golden State holds a one-game-to-none lead over Cleveland in the NBA Finals. The talk going into the series was that LeBron James was finally the underdog. I was dubious about that characterization, but after Game 1, maybe.
Well,
the Warriors' bench, I thought, would be the underdog, but no.
No, the Warriors remain a very, very good basketball team. I would dispute that because I think in his early days in the league, when he was pretty much all Cleveland ever had, he was an underdog when he was pushing him into the playoffs. But I also don't think it's an argument worth having, really. But after that first game, now things will settle down, and this is still going to be a seven-game series.
Warriors reserve Anderson Varejao played for another team this season, the very Cleveland Cavaliers, about whom we were speaking. So there's a chance he could get a championship ring regardless of the outcome. Good deal, don't you think?
Yeah, first of all, it's a very good deal for a guy who walks around and looks like Sideshow Bob. That's number one. Number two, he says he's going to take the Warrior ring, but he's noncommittal on whether or not he's going to take the one from Cleveland.
Oh, so if he's on the team that loses, he won't take the win from
it's
the
It's entirely
from
possible
the team
he won't, yeah.
I find it somewhat amusing that LeBron James and Kevin Love have said that Varejao has been a flopper. I guess they should know, right? They've seen him play.
Well, yeah, but
a lot.
I mean, frankly, if I saw LeBron James bearing down on me, I would look like Greg Louganis going to the floor.
Flop immediately.
I mean, how do you penalize a guy for self-defense?
An excellent point. The Pittsburgh Penguins went into the weekend with a 2-0 lead over the San Jose Sharks, who are making their first Stanley Cup final appearance. I guess the Sharks, who have actually a long history of choking in the postseason, have a rare opportunity to choke at the highest possible level while everybody's paying attention this time.
And meanwhile, they're whining that Sidney Crosby is cheating at faceoffs. Now, if you can watch a hockey game, Bill, and tell if somebody's cheating at a faceoff, you're a better fan than I am.
American Shelby Rogers went into the French Open as the 108th-ranked female tennis player in the world, and she made an amazing run all the way to the quarterfinals. I can't wait for Wimbledon now. How about you?
Well, we have this argument every year. To me, the French Open is a freak show
because of
the surface. I mean, we don't know if Shelby Rogers can do on a grass court what she's done on the slow clay of Roland Garros.
Oh, nicely done.
Oui.
Very, very good. Atlanta Braves manager Freddie Gonzalez was fired a couple of weeks ago, Charlie. He was the only Latino MLB manager. This has led some to remind the league that there's been a rule since 1999 that requires teams to consider minority candidates when they're hiring. It doesn't appear that the so-called Selig rule is working very well.
No, it's not working very well, but it's also not going anywhere either. Somehow in this whole mess, there's an argument that if enough people ignore a rule, it isn't really a rule anymore. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I mean, I'd love to see somebody arguing on spitballs that way.
Hmm. The Copa America soccer tournament is underway. This is
the first time.
Oh, I'm going to just carry on despite this mockery. It's the first time it's been played in the U.S. 10 South American teams, 6 Central American or North American teams competing for regional supremacy. U.S. has the home field advantage. What if they win?
Just want to know how much it costs to get the home field advantage.
It probably has something to do with the relative, you know,
currency
exchange,
currency exchange rates
and things of that
nature. That's a good thing. Presumably, they're playing all over the country, right?
Yeah, they are. And there'll be a couple of games here.
There will be.
In our neighborhood.
That's
Chile,
right.
Bolivia, and Brazil, Peru coming up.
You can throw out the record books when those traditional rivals tee it up.
And I set you up anyway. Finally, Charlie, I came across two noteworthy minor league baseball promotions this week. The Pawtucket Red Sox announced that June 10th would be Free Tom Brady Friday. You get in free if your name is either Tom or Brady. And the Buffalo Bisons subsequently announced that June 11th would be Keep Brady Suspended Night. And if your name is either Tom or Brady, you can go to that game, but you can't watch the first four innings. That's the rule. I don't know how they enforce that rule, but they're saying that. Anyway, if you had to pick one, which do you go to?
Oh, I think I go to Keep Brady Suspended Night because I suspect they will put you in a nice room with, you know, cold cuts and adult beverages
and
for
no
the
television.
Four innings. For the four innings, exactly.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at SI.com, and he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
I'll be shoveling off now, Bill.
Keep digging.